fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. My opening serve on the Sunny Side of Sports is Australian Open tennis. The fans down under in Melbourne cheered Tuesday for a local favorite to make the ladies' singles semifinals. But alas, a Czech player proved too good. Craig Gabriel has that story from Melbourne, and Craig also looks ahead to Wednesday's big matches.
Australian tennis fans have not witnessed an Australian woman in the semis of their own major since Wendy Turnbull in 1984. There were so many dreams and hopes pinned on 22-year-old Ash Barty, who hails from the Sunshine State of Queensland, same as Miss Turnbull. Barty has a disposition that epitomises that state, but under the lights of Melbourne Park, home of the Australian Open, her smile was left with a sad and disappointed frown as Petra Kvitova played glorious tennis to beat Barty 6-1, 6-4 and dashed the hopes off the fans.
Yeah, disappointed purely from having or competing my whole life, and obviously we driven to win every single match, but today Petra was outstanding. She really was. She took it away from me quite early in the match, and she's very capable of doing that to players.
It wasn't as if Barty played poorly. In fact, she was not bad at all, but Kvitova was just on another level. The Czech star went through much rehab when a crazy man broke into her home and cut her left hand with a knife. The injuries were almost career-threatening, but Kvitova maintained her positiveness, and here she is.
For sure, I am calling it as my second career, so it's the first semifinal of the second career. But yeah, it took me a while, for sure. I never really, you know, played so well on the Grand Slam, so I'm happy that this time it's different, and I'm really enjoying it. Still, the tournament is still not over yet, so...
American Danielle Collins is the surprise packet. The college graduate beat Anastasia Pavluchenkova 2-6, 7-5, 6-1, and will play Kvitova.
I've played Kvitova once a couple weeks ago in Sydney, and she's tricky because she's a lefty. It's going to be an incredible battle and another great opportunity for me. She's an incredible champion, has gone through a lot. We had a really great battle a couple weeks ago. It was one of the best matches I've played, and I didn't even win that match. So very familiar with her. Looking forward to the next match.
Greek Stefanos Tsitsipas, who beat Roger Federer, continues to grow in popularity, and his four-set win over Roberto Bautista Agut was well-supported by members of Melbourne's Greek population, what's believed to be the biggest Greek population outside of Athens. Stefanos said his aim was to reach the semis because he saw that as a launch pad, and now he's achieved that milestone.
I did want to concentrate on my next match. I knew that win against Federer was important and played a huge role in my image, like who I am, you know. But I knew that the biggest challenge was today's match, that I can prove myself once again.
Tsitsipas will take on Rafa Nadal, who made quick work of Francis Tiafoe.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafoe. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
The demise of world number one Simona Halep to Serena Williams the day before at the Australian Open means there are now four women in contention for the world number one ranking once this event is over. Naomi Osaka, Elena Svitolina, Petra Kvitova and Karolina Pliskova, and two of them play each other. So with that, one could very well be out of the running. The two that square off are Naomi Osaka, the US Open champion, and Elena Svitolina, who ended the 2018 season by winning the season-ending event, the WTA Championships. This will be the sixth meeting between them, and it's Svitolina who leads narrowly 3-2. The Ukrainian won their last match in March 2018, but possibly a bit more relevance lies with the fact that they played at the Australian Open in 2016, and Osaka won that one. She's the youngest player from Japan to reach this stage of the Australian Open since Kumiko Date in 1990. Serena Williams, coming off beating the world number one Simona Halep, will play Karolina Pliskova. Their head-to-head is 2-1 to Serena, and she also won their most recent match, which was at last year's US Open. In the men's matches to be played, Milos Raonic will take on Luka Pui, and Novak Djokovic will face Kei Nishikori. Raonic had an arduous journey through to the quarters and has racked up quite a few five-setters, but his most convincing win was over the fourth seed Sasha Zverev. Raonic has never lost to the Frenchman, and they've played three times. The last time was in Stuttgart last year, and they also played at the 2016 Aussie Open. Djokovic and Nishikori, meanwhile, have quite a history, with the world number one holding a commanding 15-2 advantage. At the 2018 US Open, Djokovic won and also had the same outcome at the 2016 Australian Open, playing Nishikori. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sport, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Craig mentioned how Rafa Nadal made quick work of 21-year-old American Francis Tiafoe on Tuesday. Rafa advanced to the semifinals in straight sets. The final score from Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne, 6-3, 6-4, and 6-2. Despite the loss, I want to give Francis Tiafoe a Sunny Side of Sports salute. This was his best ever showing in a Grand Slam tennis tournament. In November 2017, Francis visited our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington and talked with me and my former VOA colleague, Andrew Palcheski. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as I say, Francis, welcome to the Voice of America.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Francis, I thought I'd begin with a hashtag. I was scrolling through your Facebook feed, and one of the hashtags I see there, Big Foe on the Come Up. Big Foe on the Come Up. Can you talk about that and what it means to you, that hashtag?
Well, Big Foe is my nickname. A lot of people call me Foe, but you know, some people call me Big Foe, so that's pretty much a nickname. And then, I was joking around once and decided to put on the come up at the end, and it sounded cool and it flowed. So, I've been using it on Instagram, Twitter, everything. So, pretty much just means, you know, just me on the come up, me trying to just, you know, just keep going and just try to reach the top.
I like it. On the come up, does that sort of symbolize how you're a rising tennis player in the USA?
Yeah, it symbolizes a lot of things. You know, I've, you know, started from, you know, pretty low, and you know, now I'm, I've been on the come up since the beginning. So you know, and I'm still on it just because I've been rising. Doesn't mean it's gonna stop. So yeah, that's what pretty just reminds me I still got a long way to go.
Yeah, Francis, as one of these up-and-coming Americans, how do you feel about the perception that many people say American men's tennis is in a slump? Does that put added pressure on you as a young American player, or is that maybe a motivator to move up and do well?
Yeah, I think everyone says American tennis has been on a slump, blah, 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 but we also hit a generation where, I mean, it's possibly the best generation in tennis. With Novak, Roger, Rafa, Murray, these guys there just have a million slams, just those four, so... it's been tough for anyone to really break through. So I wouldn't say that American tennis has been bad at all. I mean, I think we have a ton of great guys coming through, and we'll see how we all turn up. I think we all push each other every day and all very supportive of each other. So I think we have a great crew that can easily run the sport of tennis.
Francis, you mentioned Roger, and I know you had that great five-set match with him. Can you talk about that and how it has affected your career? Has it boosted your confidence?
Yeah, you know, that was a heartbreaker, but yeah, I mean, I took a lot of positives from that for sure. Played unbelievable. Put myself in a position to win against, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time. And I've been playing with some really good tennis.
You played world team tennis for the Washington Castles, which is your hometown world team tennis team. You grew up just outside of Washington, D.C. What was that experience like, and how did it help you, especially playing in front of such a positive crowd? And I have to ask you, too, what's it like having your own bobblehead?
that whole week was great. Mark Hine, puts an unbelievable event on. Treats the players great. Everything around is great. The atmosphere is, better than any. So being there was unbelievable, and I'm going to do that for many more years for sure. Having my own bobblehead the final night was unbelievable. a lot of people went and got it, so I hope I could live up to that, and hopefully people want to buy many more bobbleheads down the stretch.
World team tennis, Francis, maybe not as high stakes as life on the ATP tour. Can you tell our VOA listeners what it's like to before a big match against somebody like Roger Federer, what is it like in the locker room before you go out on the court against someone of Federer's status?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you got nerves, you got a lot of things going through your head, and obviously the crowd's going to be packed, the crowd's going to be against you, he's a fan favorite pretty much wherever he goes. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just another match. You know, there's a tournament every week. There's a chance to make a dent every week. So, you know, you don't want to make a situation bigger than it needs to be. You know, you just go out there, give your best stuff, and you know, respect everyone and fear no one. That's pretty much one of my big mottos. And, I mean, because at the end of the day, like, I mean, they're trying to do the same thing as you, and that's win. So, you know, give your best stuff and just leave it all out there.
When you're approaching a match, and I'm sure you must have some friends on the tour, are you talking with them beforehand? I mean, if, say, you're going up against somebody like Jack Sock, would you talk to him before the match? Maybe, hey, what did you have to eat last night or something like that? Or, you know, more casual conversation? Or is it you're just focused on the match at hand?
Yeah, I mean, me and Jack's probably one of my best friends on tour, him, Kyrgios. And a lot of the younger guys. A lot of guys on tour, you know, pretty to themselves, pretty locked in 24/7, not much personality going on with them. But, you know, they're there for a job, and I respect it. But, you know, I'm a pretty laid-back guy. And, you know, I mean, a lot of the guys that will talk to me before I play, I will. If they don't, then that's also fine. But, yeah, for me, I'm usually with my team and just keep it relaxed, keep it chill, not too serious. And then, you know, as it gets closer to it, you know, try to lock it in and go over the game plan and just try to get ready to rock.
You're one of these young players who's very active on social media. How does that play into your game? Does it help you to stay grounded and connect with fans? Is it just another thing that you have to deal with and work on in addition to your play? How does that fit in to your life?
I just try to be as real as possible on social media. You know, I'm not doing it for the fans. I mean, I just want to put out there like who I really am. You know, not just trying to impress anyone. Just put up stuff that I think is fun and showing people that I'm just like them. I just know how to play tennis, and that's pretty much it.
Francis, the voice of America, we broadcast all over the world, including Sierra Leone, where your parents are from. And before we came in the studio, you mentioned how you visited Sierra Leone. Do you have memories of that trip?
Yeah, 10, 11 years ago, but yeah, I do. I mean, it was unbelievable to see that, to see where my parents really grew up, everything they had to go through to get through the States and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, I was happy I got to see that. You know, it was good for me and my brother to be in that environment. Just remember that, you know, having life in America is a great opportunity, and you never take that for granted, and respect everyone, and, you know, just values go a long way. So we learned this so many, like, I can go on and on, how many lessons I learned from that trip, and that made me a better man today, and I'm always going to remember that. So, but yeah, I plan on doing many things for that country down the stretch. Obviously, I work towards that. You know, you play for way more than yourself. It's bigger than tennis. You know, trying to inspire, you know, kids there, you know, kids all around in the States. So that's what I'm trying to do.
What about Davis Cup? Is that part of your plan of, you know, playing for your country?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you know, I would obviously love to hold the Davis Cup trophy. I think you know, those events are huge. You know, we get a good team behind us, and we get a win. That'll be huge for American tennis. Obviously, you know, stop you know, the doubt with American fans and saying that, you know, this, that, and the other. But yeah, I mean, whenever my ranking is high enough, I'll definitely be on Davis Cup ties, that's for sure.
Anything you would like to say to our listeners in Sierra Leone or across Africa?
That's really just I'm out here, you know, competing for you guys every day in, day out, you know, putting in day in, day out for you guys, and I plan to do many things for you guys. So keep following me, and I'll be putting in for you guys.
Francis Tiafo, thank you for visiting with us at VOA.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunnyside of Sports on Voice of America.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association action Monday night, the defending champion Golden State Warriors routed the host Los Angeles Lakers in a matchup of California-based NBA clubs. The Warriors got a great shooting performance from guard Klay Thompson, as we hear now from the AP's Mark Myers in Los Angeles.
Behind 44 points from Klay Thompson, the Warriors ripped the Lakers 131-11 for their eighth straight win. In just 27 minutes of floor time, Thompson made 17 of 20 shots, including 10 of 11 from three-point range.
Never hit 10 threes in a row in a game. That was hard. I mean, that's hard to do. I thought I had 11 for a second, but that's basketball.
Kevin Durant added 20 points. Stephen Curry had 11 points with 12 assists. Up 10 at halftime, Golden State stretched the lead to 36 in the third quarter before turning it over to the reserves. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. By the way, Lakers superstar LeBron James did not play in that game against the Warriors. LeBron continues to be sidelined by a groin injury suffered on Christmas Day. The Lakers are hoping LeBron is 100% healthy so he can get out there and play in big games like that one against the Warriors. But for now, LeBron is still sidelined. Now let's go to Philadelphia, where Cameroonian star Joel Embiid helped lead the Philadelphia 76ers to their 31st victory of the season. Embiid and the 76ers defused James Harden and the Houston Rockets, as we hear now from the AP's Michael Luongo in Philadelphia.
The 76ers got a dominant first-half performance from Joel Embiid as they rolled away 121-93 win over the Rockets. Embiid scored 14 points in the first quarter as Philadelphia led by four. Embiid added 10 points in the second quarter. He capped an 11-1 run with a pair of free throws that pushed the lead to 16. Embiid finished with 32 points. He pulled down 14 rebounds.
I just knew that, especially with Jimmy out, I had to be a little extra aggressive, and I had it going.
Landry Shamet came up the message at 18 for the Sixers. James Harden at 37 for the Rockets.
It's one of those games throughout the course of 82-game season that you have to just wash away, you know, and then get ready to get our energy back up for Wednesday night. But it'd be like that, you know, until we can get our guys, you know, fully healthy. I mean, it is what it is.
Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where the Milwaukee Bucks beat the visiting Dallas Mavericks by 10 points. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee.
It was the Bucks' fifth straight win, all by double digits. They used 31 points from Giannis Antetokounmpo to rebound from a halftime deficit and beat the Mavericks 116-106. The Mavs bolted out to a two-point lead at the break, but the first half shots began to run cold in the third quarter. That's where the Bucks turned the game around and extended it out to a double-digit lead. The Bucks' lead never got closer than five in the fourth quarter. Dallas star 19-year-old Luka Doncic became the second youngest player to record a triple-double. Doncic had 18 points to lead the Mavs.
We have some good looks, I think. We had some open threes. Every team struggles. Before, we had a good run, but every team struggles. And just got to practice, get back to it, and just be a team as we was.
Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Yeah. You need to get to the net. That's Basketball Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo. Well, Monday was a busy night in the NBA with a total of 11 games here in Washington. My beloved Washington Wizards were victorious, just a few blocks from our VOA headquarters. The Wizards defeated the Detroit Pistons 101-87. Trevor Ariza had 20 points and 12 rebounds for the Wizards. In New York City, the Oklahoma City Thunder stormed past the New York Knicks 127-109. Paul George had 31 points for Oklahoma City, while teammate Russell Westbrook came very close to tallying another triple-double. Our VOA basketball fans will remember in NBA talk, a triple-double is double figures in three different statistical categories. Westbrook had 17 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists. In other results, the Chicago Bulls beat the host Cleveland Cavaliers 104-88 in a matchup of two of the NBA's weaker teams. It was Chicago's 11th win of the season against 36 losses, while Cleveland's record is now 9 wins and 39 losses. That shows you what happens when you lose a superstar like LeBron James in the offseason. LeBron, of course, now playing for the Los Angeles Lakers, although I said he's been sidelined a while, the Lakers hoping to get LeBron back on the basketball court. The Orlando Magic clipped the wings of the host Atlanta Hawks 122-103. Our Voice of America sports fans will remember Atlanta is also where the Super Bowl of American-style football will be played on February 3rd between the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams. More NBA results. The Brooklyn Nets beat the visiting Sacramento Kings 123-94. The New Orleans Pelicans scored a 105-85 road victory against the Memphis Grizzlies. The Boston Celtics beat the visiting Miami Heat 107-99. And one more NBA result. The Portland Trail Blazers topped the host Utah Jazz 109-104. In African football news, Kevin Prince Boateng has completed what he describes as a dream move to Barcelona on loan for the remainder of the season. The former Tottenham and Portsmouth striker was handed the chance to make a surprise return to La Liga as Barca needed attacking cover for Luis Suarez up front. Kevin Prince Boateng, of course, played 15 international matches for Ghana, even though he was born in Germany. And, of course, Kevin Prince Boateng's half-brother, Jerome Boateng, plays for Germany as well as Bayern Munich. And this Boateng fun fact, the Boateng brothers played against each other at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa as well as the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. So Kevin Prince Boateng moving to Barcelona on loan. He had been playing for the Italian side, Sassuolo. And that wraps up the January 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Lino Ormoudou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will discuss latest efforts to sustain the Global Fund to fight AIDS, TB, and malaria, the largest global partnership addressing the three diseases. Our guest is Elizabeth Ivanovich, Director for Global Health at the UN Foundation. For your questions or comments, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, some Africans have concerns that Western versions of democracy are being imposed on the continent. Are democratic governments what's best for Africa? We'll discuss the issue on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Brotte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists from the universities of Scotland and Kent studied and analyzed some of the world's oldest cave paintings at sites in Turkey, Spain, France, and Germany. They say their investigations reveal that rather than just being primitive depictions of humans and animals, the ancient cave art actually suggests that people from as far back as 40,000 years ago had comparatively advanced knowledge of astronomy than had been thought. The Scottish and English researchers say the animals depicted in the ancient art are actually symbolic representations of star constellations, which were used to signify dates and designate occasions such as comet strikes. The researchers who detailed their findings in a study published by the Athens Journal of History say this astronomical knowledge could have helped ancient mariners navigate the open seas, something that could have impacted migration paths of prehistoric humans. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best. Yes, sir. Two-Face.
NATO C. Hey. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.